Isaiah chapter 58, I've not found in Scripture any particular place where so much about fasting is included in 12 verses of Scripture. And so for those of you that did, and those of you who may entertain the thought of fasting in the future, it's an amazing thing what happens in this chapter concerning, I want to really go through this reasonably quickly because there's still a lot more to happen. Verses 1 through 12, and I had it in the New King James, and I don't know if Tom is prepared to pull that up. I didn't write it down back there today because I wasn't really settled about it, but I am now. It's very relevant because we're all in this thing together, and however God ministers to us or spoke to us during that time. The first, starting in verse 1 of chapter 58 of Isaiah, may take him a few seconds to get it, but the gist of the first five or six verses has to do with the person who justifies their reason for fasting, their motivation. I'm just going to read these. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation they did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? It's kind of like a con job with God. You know, why did we go to all this bother of fasting? Lord, didn't you pay any attention to us? Lord, didn't you hear us? And so they're feeling almost like they did all of this, and for what? Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? Afflicted our souls. What a pathetic attitude. You know what? When your belly starts talking to you, you need to rise up and say in the name of Jesus, you'll eat when I say you eat.
Amen.
End of story.
That's right.
And it begins an act of self-discipline to be a believer. It really takes discipline to do that.
That's right.
And you got tempted last night with all those goodies downstairs, but you stuck to the end. Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs got her. Hallelujah. But here we go, okay? And then so here they are crying out to God, thinking that God doesn't pay any attention to them, and they're going through all the motions of doing all of these things to gain his favor, not realizing they already had it. But their attitude was a little bit needed an adjustment. Why have we fasted? Have you not seen? You take no notice. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. This is God talking back to them now. They got their answer, and I don't think they liked what they heard. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? You want to get flippant with the boss? You just might have an answer. So here's his answer. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with a fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. And now God's really starting to get a little bit heavy duty dealing with them. He says, is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? And here it goes, the benefits. To loose the bonds of wickedness, addictions, habits, bondages, things that we get into when sin gets a foothold in our lives. A fast that God's has chosen for each one of us is to break the power of those things off of our lives. And it takes discipline, all right? Amen. To undo the heavy burdens. You know, it's good when you're and you know you're carrying a load, and you want somebody to stand beside you. But there comes a time when we have to grow up and realize that, what if there's nobody around? What are you going to do then? Okay. So the whole deal is, as we grow and we mature in our faith, it might be that maybe God would just have you do a little fast to see if maybe that burden might be lifted, because you know what's going to happen. In the beginning, they're all self-seeking. They're seeking for themselves, and that's a wrong reason to fast. Now you're going to see a turn. See that you're going to see a change begin to happen in the hearts of those that started out fasting, but for all the wrong reasons. And you're going to start seeing their heart change as God speaks to them. To let the oppressed go free. Suddenly something has started to shift away from the faster to the fastees. No, that's not a good word. From those that were fasting, aren't they the fastees? Okay. And for the benefit of others, they're going to reap the benefits of your fast. So it takes the attention off of you and onto others. And that you break every yoke. That means in your life and the lives of others around you, you begin to break out of your selfish shell, and begin to start noticing and becoming more aware of the needs of others around you. That's what fasting helps to do. It gets the focus off of me, myself, and I. You know, the three in a crowd. You know, those are the parties, the old pity parties we used to have, and the same people always showed up. Me, myself, and I. So I had to quit having those kind of parties. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh or your own fellow man or maybe even your own family. Now comes even more benefits. Everybody like benefits? We like the benefits, right? Okay. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. We were talking about springing forth, breaking forth. These phrases are very nice. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." Boom, just like that. When you're fasting with the right attitude, and you come into a deeper connection with the Lord. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. So this is behavior that we need to grow out of. Looking at everybody else and pointing their finger and I know this about that person and we start blabbing with the tongue and we start tearing people down instead of building people up. We start criticizing one another instead of bringing words of encouragement and hope and extending the real love of Christ to one another. Fasting helps to break us out of that. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. Not just once in a while, just because you came to Bible study and you got a gold star, you know, for that. And satisfy your soul in drought. Was your soul ever in drought when you felt you were going through a dry time and you weren't hearing from the Lord and thought he was on vacation? Maybe he went to Hawaii or something, I don't know. No, you should come to Vermont, it's nice now. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Oh, this is awesome. When you start to see the heart of the one fasting for the wrong reasons and suddenly God gives him a revelation and an understanding. It's not about you. You're my vessel, but it's not about you. It's about what I want to do through you. And sometimes fasting breaks the selfishness out of us because everything we do, we don't want it to be self-motivated. We want it to be for the sake of others. That's the gospel call, isn't it? Okay? And then last verse, those from among you shall build the old waste places. When you think about your life and observations in life and just living in general, we all know people that got a lot of stuff going on. Their lives outwardly seem like a wreck. And God is going to give you discernment. He will give you words that are going to help another person through their stuff. Because when it's our turn, we all got stuff going on. They're going to speak into our lives too. But this is so beautiful. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Think about your family. Think about going back through the generations and all the stuff that's happened between parents and children, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, and grandparents, and just all these generational things that come down through people's families. Wouldn't it be awesome if you suddenly realized that it can end with you? That you can put a stop to it? That from your generation and all of your seed after you, it starts, all of it turns around for you?
Hallelujah.
And your children?
Yeah.
And your grandchildren? Have you started believing for godly husbands for your daughters? Have you started releasing your faith for a godly wife for the drummer? Have you started thanking God for the Christian children that are going to be born after them? Oh, man, you got to start thinking big. This stuff is real. And this tells me that you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. That means you're going to be able to establish. You're going to be able to make declarations of faith that are going to establish great things for your generation and those that are yet to come. And you have some. You have three generations right there already by faith. There's two now, but there's another one coming.
Yeah.
When your daughters give birth to their children, and Cyrus gets a wife, and they have kids, and teach them how to play drums, he's shaking his head. He says, "Nah, I ain't ready to hear that." And you shall be called the repairer of the breach. That which was broken in former generations, that which was broken in the lives of other people, you will be called by the Lord to be the restorer of those things that were broken and damaged in relationships. This is exciting stuff. And this is all because we fast for the right reasons. Isn't that amazing? Did you ever see such a portion of Scripture that had so much meat in it to grasp onto so that it encourages me to want to go do it some more? Yeah. But not today. Come on, I'm just being real. What you see is what you get, you know? The restorer of streets to dwell in. You talk about your neighborhoods filled with drugs and crime. Well, how about bringing restoration by learning to speak words of faith, learning to extend, you know, do prayer walks that I'm sure that many of you do, and some are just learning to do that, and extend your hand towards an ungodly business, extending your hand towards things that the enemy's doing in your town that you want to see put a stop to. God has equipped you and enabled you and empowered you to be able to point your finger and say, "There'll be no more of that in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for delivering my street where my kids go out and play and ride their bikes and their skateboards and whatever else, rollerblades and whatever, that this is a safe place to raise my children." And begin to release your faith for those things now if you haven't already. Fasting helps to bring such an awareness of the needs of others and being able to make a difference. Plant, grow where you planted, like that little dandelion we talked about last night out in that pile of rocks in the yard. You can be that dandelion. Again, I just come back to that. So that may be all that you hear from me today. I'm ready to play some more music, but we got to have Huggy Break. And also, we always do this. I'm going to put a basket back there behind Gary on that table, and we want to receive a love offering for these dear ones, our beloveds from Fisher's Island that came at asking nothing and just coming to bless us. We want to send you home with at least some gas money, and I know the Lord is gracious enough to do that. So rather than pass the basket, we don't even do that for tithes and offerings. If you came and you want to bless the church, you put your gifts in the little church building back there. I'm going to just put this basket back there behind Gary by faith, and we're going to take a little Huggy Break, and we're going to come back with some praise and worship, and lots more good things are going to happen. So let's pray first. Father, we thank you. We are not called to follow any particular traditions except the traditions of those men and women of faith. We want to follow after those who had a heart for you. That is the standard. We follow after Christ and those who follow him. But we thank you today for these beloveds that have traveled up here to be a blessing to Renewed Life. And Father, we just want to send them home blessed later today as well. So we thank you that by faith you're going to touch all of our hearts to do something to make a difference. You've called us to be givers from the day this church first started. and we're not going to stop giving because we've learned that we live to give and we give to live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. We've been praying for a stirring up of the gifts. Amen. Have you been born again? Born again?
Yes.
People are born again?
Yes.
We're born again? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Something significant happened when we became born again. And that because of what Jesus has accomplished, Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world, that His blood accomplished more than you and I can conceive of. I've been through some times. I have some regrets. I have some guilt and shame in my past. But I want you to know that while I was going through that, I did not rationalize, justify, reason, make my sin less. I allowed the Holy Spirit to show me what sin is. And then the Holy Spirit came through just like that army, and He magnified what Jesus accomplished. Jesus' blood is enough. Jesus' blood is enough. So there's not a person in my hearing that should be overcome by guilt and shame. Because in the twinkling of an eye, you can be set free. There's nothing in your past, nothing that you have done can hold you back. But we have to come to that place. The Bible says when we confess, amen, agree with God. Allow God to show us and then agree with Him. And then in the twinkling of an eye, you can be forgiven. Hallelujah. Cleansed, clean slate, that black backpack of sin, guilt, heaviness, burden can be lifted off of you. It's important. I have a whole list of things that I wanted to talk about. But I think the most important thing for you and I to walk away from this time together is a sense of purpose. You and I are on the planet for a reason. We're here for a reason. Sometimes we look at the news, we see what's going on around us, and the atrocities on the earth are so overwhelming that it causes us to become paralyzed and we do nothing. And we fall into the normal grind, the normal routine, the normal of life, and we become conformed into this world's image. We go to church to try to soothe our conscience, to try to make us feel better, to try to help us to feel like we're in right standing with God. And yet God has something more. There's something greater than just existing on this planet. During worship, the scripture kept coming to me when people asked Jesus, "How should we pray?" And Jesus said, "Father, Father in heaven." Number one, we need to recognize our Father in heaven. We need to come to that place where we call God our Father. Amen. Develop that relationship with God. Call Him Father. And recognize Him as holy. Recognize Him as holy. It's not a casual relationship with God. God is holy. God is holy. That's why we need the blood of the Lamb. Amen. God is holy. And He sanctified us by His blood. He cleansed us. He set us apart when we became born again. And He filled us with His Spirit, with who He is, His character, His nature, so that we could live out this next part of the prayer. Father, who is in heaven, holy, I recognize You as holy. Your kingdom come. If you've ever wondered why you're on the planet, if you've ever wondered what your assignment is, if you've ever wondered what is it for me, Lord, Begin there. It's important to God. When people ask Jesus, teach me to pray, it was important enough for Jesus to put that first. He didn't say, give us his daily bread, protect us from our enemies, forgive us our trespasses. Thy kingdom come. What does that look like? What does it look like? So, Tom, would you mind going to that PowerPoint? I'm not going to go through the whole PowerPoint. It's a really cool testimony. Rick and I knew that we were going to get together for this wonderful time together, seeking God. Remember this phrase, what on God, what on earth are you doing? Have you ever been there? What on earth are you doing, God? And so, but if you twist that in your interpretation of God, what on earth are you doing? That's a healthy question. It's not coming from a confounded, dumbfounded position of what on earth is God doing, but to question it. God, what are you doing? Not because I'm confused, not because I don't understand, but I want to know what you are doing so that I can be in cooperation with you. I don't want to be going about my daily life, going to and fro. I want to be in cooperation with what on earth God is doing. Spring forth is coming out of this situation where we are. There's no condemnation in this message. But how many believe that we've been in church? We've been listening to preaching and teaching. How many believe that God is about to do a new thing? Amen. I want to be a part of it. I don't know what it looks like, but I have an idea, and I'll share that in closing. But I know I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of what on earth God is doing. Thy kingdom come. It's always been thy kingdom come. And if we will begin to understand the value of each individual in this room, everyone in this room plays a part as an individual. Amen. And then there's something in addition to that. Rick and I were getting together and we're saying, let's get together. I believe it was inspired by the Lord last time Lisa and I visited, because God's going to do a new thing. We're about to cross a threshold and move into this next season of what God's doing on earth. And so let's have a conference. And it was going to be with the timing all worked out, spring. And Rick said, spring forth. So we began to get a theme. Amen. We started to get a sense of the theme and spring forth. And we hadn't talked about, okay, Rick and I have had the blessing of ministering together overseas and many places and many times. And it just becomes normal. The supernatural becomes normal. And so Rick prepared. He sought the Lord. I'm seeking God. And we're all seeking God. Amen. We've been praying and fasting, preparing ourselves for this time. And so Rick shared last night about the dandelion. And the main emphasis of that teaching was about seeds. And so I had put together, God woke me up with this message, and I quickly put a PowerPoint together, emailed it up to Tom, and I got there. Rick goes with the dandelion, and spent the major portion of his message was about seeds. And so I says, well, here goes that. Punctuation, though. How many believe that verily, verily, when Jesus repeats something, then amen, there's something. Let's pay attention. So seeds, this is the message. I'm not going to preach the whole message, but if you'll scroll down to a couple, there's a picture of a bee. And if you want to, there, that's good, Tom. If you want to hear this whole message, Church on the Rock just got a website. So go to FishersIslandChurchOnTheRock.com, and there's a place to listen, and there's all kinds of teachings on God's garden, God's lawn, God's this whole idea. This is what we've been talking about, and so it's really fresh to hear this new perspective on from a different place. But seeds, Rick talked about seeds last night, and the most important thing about a seed is that it be a fertile seed. And I mentioned it briefly last night. We can carry around a pocket full of seeds that will not reproduce. But we are confident when we have been like Joshua, spending time in the Holy of Holies, when we've been in the tabernacle and we're in communion with the Lord, just as the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and she said yes, that there was a conception. And so last night, the Word is the seed. We talked about the Word of God is the seed, and that out of our communion with the Lord, something can be on us, and it's that pollen there. All right? And so let me briefly just share with you this idea of your inner man, the Holy Spirit in you, and the outer man. Rick talked about fasting. Fasting is about bringing your outer man, your shell, into harmony with your inner man. And it's all supposed to be in harmony with the Lord. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom is within you. Amen? The kingdom is within us. If we're born again, the kingdom of God is within us. And now it's about a release and a manifestation, an expression of the kingdom. The devil cannot keep the kingdom from radiating by strong-arming you. You know how he does it? He persuades you. We call him the dazzling salesman. No offense to any salesperson. It's just how he deals with me, and I think it's how he dealt with Adam. He sells you something. You know why? Because the most powerful thing you possess is the power to agree. When you agree, when the devil tempts you with something, it only messes things up when you come into agreement with it. It was only when Adam and Eve said, looks good. They came into agreement with it. Seems right. And so that's the devil's roaming to and fro throughout the whole earth, amen, looking to destroy, looking to mess up the kingdom. He doesn't want there to be an expression of the kingdom. And so we are about, I personally believe, God has been ministering to us as individuals. And there are ingredients that are going to, that are absolutely essential. Just like in your diet, you need certain ingredients to be a healthy human being. There are certain ingredients that you and I need to be a healthy Christian. If you subtract protein out of your diet, your body is going to fail. If you take calcium out of your diet, your body is going to fail. If you take the Word of God out of your diet, you as a Christian are going to begin to fail. If you take prayer out of your diet, if you're going to become anemic in one area or another, if there's something messed up, look at your ingredients, because ingredients make recipes. If your life's a mess, it's because probably you're anemic in area. You've got the wrong ingredients. Either you've got toxins in your diet. You're looking at the wrong things. You're listening to the wrong things. You're coming into agreement with the wrong things, or you have not applied the proper things. So it's a matter of subtracting toxins and adding the beneficial ones. So study it out, your seekers, your disciples, your learner doers. Learn what those ingredients are that Jesus and God gave to you and I to be healthy Christians. Why? That we might represent. We are ambassadors. We're coming to bring the kingdom. So this is a worker bee for God. He is an altruistic character. He is not selfish. He's not about himself. He's not an egotistic. He's not filled with egos. He is about his Father's business. When Jesus comes, will he find faith? When Jesus comes, if Jesus were to come now, hallelujah, we're in the glory cloud. But what if happens if Jesus comes Monday afternoon? What happens if he comes Wednesday, hump day? Will Jesus find faith? Are you and I punching in on Sunday? Let's hope that Jesus comes on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and some of us for Tuesday prayer. But if not, I'm a little worried. What's he going to find us doing? And so I begin to understand that my purpose for being on the planet is to help other people, when they meet their Maker face to face, that that's the best day of your life. When you meet your Maker, that you're not ashamed, you're not guilty, you have no regrets, you meet him, and you can come boldly and just connecting with a friend, someone that you've been walking through life on this planet with, in harmony, in fellowship. Amen? And so these bees, check this out. God has such a design that the hairs on the bees have an electrostatic charge. And so they're attracting pollen, when they get onto a flower. So the reason I'm sharing this with you, because we need to leave this place with a sense of purpose and understanding what on earth God is doing. I believe he's been working with us as individuals that we will be healthy bees, right? The second part of this is that dandelion that Rick talked about, the seeds, in order for those seeds to reproduce after their kind, in order for them to be fertile, they need to be pollinated. They need to be pollinated. And that's what I think is so significant about our time here. That Fisher's Island, a bunch of worker bees from not only Fisher's Island, but the surrounding area over on the mainland and Friends of Fisher's Island, Church on the Rock and Fisher's Island, have come up here. Amen? And hopefully, we have been in the holy place. Hopefully, that electrostatic charge is attracting the things of the kingdom. That we've been hanging around things of the kingdom and attracting things of the kingdom, so that when we come to Vermont and we rub up against and have fellowship with you all, that the things of the kingdom that I've been attracting down on Fisher's Island, I got the holy goosebumps all over me right now, you're going to get rubbed up on with some of that kingdom stuff from Fisher's Island. And you know what else is happening? You all have been seeking God. You've been praying and fasting. And there's just kingdom pollen that's clinging all over you like that bee. So when we're having huggy time, I'm getting some of renewed life in Jesus kingdom pollen on me. And I'm going to take that back to Fisher's Island. And there's going to be a healthier, to a greater degree, a manifestation of the kingdom on Fisher's Island as a result of my having fellowship with you. And so I believe with all my heart that what on earth God is doing is he's bringing a body together. I'm not talking about one world order. I'm not talking about one church. I'm not talking about the spirit of unity. The spirit of unity is not unity in the spirit. The spirit of unity is going to be Antichrist spirit. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the spirit of unity. Hallelujah. The unity in the spirit. Where I am filled with the Spirit. My outer man is being disciplined and subject to the Spirit of God within me. And so let me share with you in closing, and we've been here for a long time, I know. The key to the success in thy kingdom come is the same key to success for Jesus. Jesus was successful at bringing the kingdom to the earth and for his Father's will to be done. And you know what the key to his success was? It was the cross. The cross is the key. The cross is the thing that brings the outer man to that place of harmony with the Holy Spirit within us. Your outer man, and I believe with all my heart, Jesus' outer man wanted to do its own thing. But Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, nevertheless, not my will, not my outer man is not going to get its way here. It's going to be subject to the Father's will. That's the cross. When we get up Monday morning and we don't want to manifest the glory, the inner man saying, get up and pray, or go talk to your neighbor, or go lay hands on somebody in the post office, because it's about getting out of these walls. Amen. To bring the kingdom. It's fun to bring the kingdom here. It's easy to bring the kingdom here. But it's about bringing the kingdom into our everyday life. That we're not switching on and off the Spirit of God. That we're not like in the Spirit and then not in the Spirit. Right? That's the challenge. If you're going to do a pie chart, go ahead and start to do some journaling. I mean, go at this. Is there anything more important to you? Is your job more important to you? Is anything else more important to you than thy will be done? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm not telling you to quit your jobs. But think about it. We have a lot of excuses why we don't do the things that God's calling us to do. So easy to come into agreement with the other stuff. Let's listen. Let's listen. Let's listen. The cross is the key. When God speaks to us, then to come into agreement with that and make our outer man subject and say, nevertheless, not what I want to do today, but your will be done, Lord. There's going to be a tremendous release of the Spirit. I believe this is what the Lord was sharing with me, and you please discern, judge it. I believe the next major move of God is with this generation. Cyrus generation, the other young people. I believe that the Lord showed me that. I think the Lord showed me the next big move. The big Toronto, how many remember Toronto, Pensacola, all these big moves of God? How about the Great Awakening? And there are major moves of God come and go, just like the ocean. The tides go in and out. Amen? We can't force a move of God. But what we can do is try to discern and figure out where God is. I personally sense the tide is out, but something is about to come in. Amen? And I want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. I believe what the Lord was showing me is that the next major move of God is with the young people. The next major move of God is with the young people. And he asked me, he said, will you serve it? Will you serve it? And so what do you want? Are you about, you know, it's like, well, I want the next major move of God to be in my generation. How about these young people serve my move of God? Huh? So weigh it out, pray about it, see what you think. But the whole idea is no matter where the move of God is, will you serve it? Will you be subject, and will you go ahead and get into agreement with that? So, speaking of seeds, sister wasn't able to be here. Mike's wife, she had a hip replacement, but she's a part of it. She's a part of this conference right now, and she sent up, these are mustard seeds with scriptures on them. And so the idea is, what potential? What is your potential? What is your potential? How do you see yourself? Are you ready? Are you ready to burst forth with life? Are you ready? Are you ready for God to just rain down on you, soften that, and allow the life to just burst forth? It's going to look like something. When Rick showed that picture of all the dandelions in the field, all the yellow flowers, didn't it look like something? I want you to know that one flower blooming will change the atmosphere. The atmosphere will be changed because you'll smell something. You'll look at it. Your eyes will behold it. Have you ever been kind of down and you're walking along and you see a flower and it lifted you up? Have you ever had a fragrance come across your nostrils and all of a sudden it changed your perspective? It helped you to feel better. I love smelling lilies. We got fragrant daylilies everywhere. I love fragrances. One. Can you imagine if everyone in this room started to burst forth with life? It's going to change the environment. Do you know that in order for us to breathe, we need plants? You and I can so profoundly impact the atmosphere where you live. I love that Rick said, go into your community. Take a walk. One person walking down. You know what my vision is? Is that I'm looking at my sphere. My sphere, the Holy Spirit. How big of a sphere do I have when I'm walking down the road? I'm hoping that my sphere is getting so big that houses on both sides. As I'm walking, the Holy Spirit's walking with me, and each person in those houses are washed over by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Either they're convicted with sin or encouraged or edified. Do you believe that? Can you hope for that?
Yeah.
There's records in history of people coming to town on a train, and the Spirit of God was so strong that the workers in the factories were profoundly convicted of sin, and they were crying and they couldn't work in the factory. The leaders of the factories had shut the factories down because God showed up. One man showing up on a train. How big is your sphere? I'm happy if I can walk down this aisle and Pat gets touched by the Holy Spirit. And this brother here and this brother. But I'm hoping to grow so that all the way from wall to wall, that as I walk down the aisle, that everybody's touched by the Holy Ghost. That's not a mystical thing. It's not a weird thing. The Bible said, out of our belly will flow with a pleasing continuity. The Spirit of God is supposed to be released. That's why Jesus said, don't put light under a bushel. What's your bushel? It's your outer man. I'm not really feeling it today, and I really don't want, you know, have anything to do with her, and I don't like the way she looked at my shirt or whatever it is. You know what I mean? We can shut the Holy Ghost down just with your attitude, just with your mind, the way you're thinking. But there, listen, when the Bible says out of your belly will flow, it's not interrupted. It's not like, yeah, I like her. Holy Ghost time for you. But nope, not for you. The Bible in the original language says with a pleasing continuity, not interrupted. It's supposed to just whoosh everywhere. And the only way that can happen is if you take up your cross daily. Let's face it, there's going to be brothers and sisters that you don't get along with, you don't like. It's all right. It's not a problem. God don't care. It's all how about the release of the Spirit. You don't have to be huggy-huggy best friends with everybody. But there needs to be the pollen contact, and there needs to be the flow of life and love of Jesus. The life and love of Jesus is supposed to flow all the time between us. That's why he gave us really good instructions on how to get along. Go to each other and stuff like that. So, super important. Individuals, become all that you can be. Be the worker bee. Become all that you can be. Be that bee that God designed you to be, and then learn how to work together as a group, that there be a manifestation of his kingdom. So I would just like to pray real quick and then also offer an opportunity. I believe there are tremendous gifts, and we saw it last night, that the word that comes, the rhema word, that fertile seed that comes, is not always from the guy behind the pulpit. We saw it last night. Cyrus was given words. His sister was given words. Everybody in this room almost was given words. They were having visions and praying and having interpretations. Hallelujah. God gave gifts. It's for all of us. So now it's safe in this area, right, to release the gifts and to pray for people and to dare. And it gives you courage. You kill the lion, you kill the bear. Then when you go to the post office and you sense that, there's a person right there. It's like, oh, man, I think God is telling me to go tell them that God loves them. Or it's like, what's wrong with your leg? You mind if I pray for you? When you can do it here, it becomes easier to do it with that whole idea. Amen? So please don't leave here. Don't just go to Rick for the prayers. Amen? Seek the Lord and say, Lord, who can I get together with and hold hands and join my faith and believe for my freedom, believe for my deliverance, believe for my healing, believe for my brother-in-law's salvation. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be together. Lord God, I believe that you've inspired this and initiated it. And so, Lord, I just pray that, Father, that we continue to grow as individuals. And Lord God, that we would have a sense of destiny and purpose. There's a reason that we're here. And Father, I pray for revelation for those who are wondering. And Father, as we prayed last night, we pray for times of refreshing and being overwhelmed by your presence, Lord God. Hallelujah. Filled up. And then Father, also I pray that we learn how to fellowship. That we, Father, would be a part of what on earth you're doing. And Lord God, that we understand that it's about your kingdom coming, and that there be a clearer and clearer manifestation of your kingdom. That there be a corporate manifestation of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I just ask you, bless Renewed Life in Jesus, the leadership here, Lord God. We thank you for their witness. Rick, would you mind? Hallelujah. Last night, would you mind coming up, Rick? Is Faith around? Okay.
We can snatch her, though.
I'd love to pray. Who wants to pray for the leadership here? Hallelujah. So, I believe that I saw last night a pillar of fire coming out of this building as we were worshiping, as we were having fellowship here. I believe it's significant. You know, I pray God give interpretation about that, but I believe that something happened and something is happening, has been happening for decades. But there was a pillar of fire coming up out of this building. And I'm believing that it's the beginning and start of something really amazing. So, hallelujah. Sister? God, out of the mouth of two or three. Thank you, Lord. Who's ready to just bust out of the church mold, the church model? Huh? There's benefits of tradition. Don't get me wrong. There's benefits of tradition, but we don't. If God is about to do something, we don't want to be limited by it in any way. Amen. Hallelujah. I just love to pray for you guys, and I know some other folks would like to pray for you guys too. It's all right. Hallelujah. Anybody else who's interested in praying for this beautiful couple? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. They're representing the leadership of this fellowship, and hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Father, just stir up the gifts among us, Lord God, and I pray for a release of the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
For Faith and Rick.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're such a blessing to us.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, they are.
This whole family here. Mm. Each one of you, I may not know individual names, but mm-hmm. we're all blessed.
Yes.
To be here and to be in the presence of our Lord. Mm-hmm. He loves us so much. In Andy's dream, that we may become separated, but we'll all come together in the end.
Hallelujah.
We'll all be together.
Hallelujah.
It'll be such a happy, beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
lovely.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
If anybody's getting a picture or a word, please shout it out.
I want to thank Rick for the word he gave several years ago that he doesn't seek the presence of the Lord. He seeks to be in the presence of the Lord. He's determined to do so, and he prevents the world from pushing that out.
Mm.
When you're in the Lord's presence, the presence of the Lord emanates
yes.
from you in what you do.
Yes.
So I'm just thankful that through the doctrine that we don't go searching for God because we already have that revelation.
Hallelujah.
He's within us.
Amen.
Mm. And his teachings have been trying to grow us into that revelation, the application of the Bible, the application of that truth into our lives, is to see that the Word is good and we have tasted that. So we are grounded in the Word, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But this place has been a fertile ground for us to test you, to learn about you,
yes.
to apply you in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the testimonies that come from our own hearts, our own mouths, is a testimony of your Son Jesus Christ, and a testimony of how much you do love us, and that you never forsake us, never forget about us, and that there is life in Jesus Christ, an eternal life in Jesus Christ. So thank you for knitting our hearts together.
Yes.
Thank you that you pollinated Carl. He's now in New York.
Yeah, that's right.
He's coming back.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yeah. That we all are engrafted in the same mind.
Thank you, Father.
past in the Lord. Yes.
I just get this tremendous sense of pleasure. I honestly believe your Heavenly Father is well pleased. I just think you delight His soul, both of you. Your faithfulness, your genuine, your sincerity, hallelujah. I just get this overwhelming sense of pleasure. You see a smile and a twinkle in His eye. You delight His soul, you guys.
I think He laughs sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask you continue to bless this couple, Lord, in the leadership of Renewed Life in Jesus. Father, I just pray that you continue to anoint them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that you continue to give them words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Father, prophecies and understanding. Help them to see things as you see things. And Lord, if you are indeed leading them to a new place, Father, that I pray that you would first show them, hallelujah, the leadership, so that they can be in harmony with your Holy Spirit and, hallelujah, lead this congregation to the place that their Father is wanting them to be. For their good and your glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo!